Blog Talk Radio.
Eagles fans. Paul from Tampadelphia here with another show about our Philadelphia Eagles. Looking back on the game we just played against the Dallas Cowboys. This Tuesday evening, I'm sure a lot of Eagles fans are a little upset, a little disgusted, a little fed up. Season's over, right? We're walking around holding our heads down saying, you know what? We won the Super Bowl last year. This year we can't even get in the air. We can't even get off the ground. So everybody's a little gloomy knowing there's no playoffs in Philadelphia this year. There's no Super Bowl repeat that they all hoped for just a few short months ago. Back in September when we started the season, expectations were sky high. We're going to talk about some of that. We're going to talk about the Dallas game. We're going to talk about where we go next. We're going to talk about what's coming up. I invite your call, 657-383-1614. And this show is all about you. It's for you, not about me. So if you have something to say, you want to make a point, give us a call. 657-383-1614. We can talk on air or we can talk off air, but get in touch. Let us know what's on your mind because the way we're seeing it may not be the only way or the best way. I've been watching a lot of follow-up press conferences and interviews and other things, talking to a lot of people, fans as well as other people about the Eagles. And depending on where they sit in the scheme of things, I guess in the stadium, they see different things. They say different things. The people that sit in the seats, the cheap seats, generally are a little bit more reactive, a little bit more loud, a little bit more vocal, a little bit angry, a little bit emotional, quick to jump to the highs, quick to drop to the lows. The people that are in the more expensive seats, the luxury boxes, are pretty even keel, pretty steady, taking it in stride, putting it in its proper perspective. The people that are in the media are looking at it, and they're not saying everything that they want to say. They're not coming out with a lot of negative information or accusatory language against anybody in the Eagles organization for what's going on. But we've got a 45-minute show tonight, and here's the bottom line of where we were. We lost to the Dallas Cowboys. We lost to the Dallas Cowboys, and I got to tell you a couple things. The first thing is I am, and you should be, extremely proud of the way the defense played the game. Why? Last week I had mentioned that the plan of the Eagles was to keep the defense off the field. Keep the offense on. Let's get time of possession. Score points, 2 o'clock. We'll come out ahead. And we did. And it seems like almost every game where we've done that, that was the result. Against Dallas, we were woefully outplayed. Dallas had the ball almost 46 minutes. The Eagles had it but 22 minutes, just about half of Dallas's time of possession. Not good. But I'll tell you what, the Eagles denied the evil team the end zone time and time and time again. At the end of the first quarter, it was 3-0. At the end of the second, it was 6-0. At the end of the third quarter, it was 9-0. Not the end of the third, but it went from 9-6. Then in the fourth quarter, it got tied 9-9. 12 minutes left to play. It's a 9-9 game. Jim Schwartz, I said, should be accountable for the performance of squads. And you know what? He must have heard the show. Because Jim Schwartz did a heck of a job. Jim Schwartz has got guys that should be practice squad guys, camp bodies, walk-ons. I mean, he's got no talent in his defensive backfield. Sidney Jones gets hurt again with his hamstring. I think he's a blue chip pick, but he may have come back a little too soon. He hobbles off. We've got other guys that end up getting hurt again this game. And who's out there? Jordan Hicks has been out, as usual. Our guys played a monster game. Cox played a strong game. Bennett played a strong game. The defensive guys that I'm always saying are liabilities, number 24, Graham, and number 32, Douglas, both had big plays, big interceptions. And ran, did some running back, too. Good to see that. Glad to see them save their jobs. Glad to see these guys have the confidence to be on an NFL field and make those plays. I was delighted to see the way the Eagles played. They clawed. They played with heart. They were not quitting. They were not giving up. Because I'll tell you what. I think it was about, it was 7.5 minutes left in the game. Dallas scores and goes up 16-9. With 3 minutes left, Eagles tie it. 3 minutes left, it's a tie game. Dallas has been running up and down the field. Ezekiel's been running at will. Amari Cooper's had a career-high game. What can you say about Amari Cooper's performance except, geez, wow, nice display, right? And with 3 minutes left, Dallas takes a lead, 23-16. And then with 1.5 minutes left, Philly ties it again, 23-23. Listen to me. Here's what happens. The defense holds on the entire game. Carson Wentz sucks in the first half. He doesn't really suck. He's got a lot of talent. Shannon Sharp and some other talking heads were saying that Carson Wentz may still be hurt. I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. If he had a bad first half, which he did, he was missing open guys. He couldn't throw the screen pass, which is a vital, important play in this Philadelphia offense. You know, we're toast, and that's what was happening. He was missing the open man. He looked like McNabb. I started getting a cold shiver when I saw the replays. Was I there? No. I was not at Tampa Delphia. If you were, you knew that. We had a good crowd, too. But I wasn't there. Why? I apologize to everybody early on Sunday. I may have been stuck, I said. My wife had a family commitment in Orlando. She had to go. She took the car. And I asked a few guys for a ride down to the Crown. It didn't happen. They had their own situations. One guy had a healthcare situation within his family. And the other guy just didn't answer me. But the bottom line for me is that I couldn't get down there. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a whole lot of high-end cable hookups here. I cut the cord years ago. I was in tech. I don't need what they have on cable. I do have free TV through the air. When you get the reception. I didn't get the reception that day. I was frantic, man. I was going crazy trying to find the game, trying to get updates. I'm looking for clips on YouTube. I'm looking for different things through apps. I couldn't really pull it in. So I'm getting these text messages from some pals about the game, and I'm going crazy trying to find out what's going on. And here we are. We're tied with 1.5 minutes left. What's going to happen? We're a 3-point kick away while we go overtime, which is insane. Now, I called, I put it up on Tampa Delphia Eagles on Facebook on Sunday morning that the Eagles were going to win this game. I honestly, in my heart of hearts, believed that Philly was going to come through. They were tired of taking that kind of abuse from the fans and from everybody else in the league. They were going to show people who they really are. And you know what? They damn near did. What happens? We go into overtime. What happens? Dak Prescott throws a football. Douglas deflects, pushes it away with what he's supposed to do, except the deflection went a certain way, and Cooper reaches out, pulls it in, and runs it in for a score. Fluke play, but they win. So, yeah, we lost the game, but you know what? Don't you dare hang your head on this Eagles team. Don't you dare hang your head on this Eagles team. These guys showed me something. They showed me a lot of heart, and that is what it takes to be a winner. And we got it. Now, Do I think we're going to beat the Rams or the Texans? I don't think so. But I do think we're going to take Washington. I do see 7-9 for us. If we go 8-8, hey, you know, all the more power to us. But that's the summary of the game. Now, we could get into stats, but there's other things I want to talk about for just a moment. And I invite your call again. If you don't have the number, 657-383-1614. I considered the game, and I put it in the perspective of all the other games because you have a tendency to look for the trends and the patterns. And I thought to myself, you know what? Peterson's doing it. He's turning into Andy Reid. I had that fear when he first came. His first season, I was not impressed. Carrying into the Super Bowl season, I was not impressed. Four games into the Super Bowl season, I thought, well, maybe there's something going on here. Then six games into the Super Bowl season, okay, something's going on. And halfway through the season, it was like, holy smokes, wow, what's going on? Here we come. But now this season, here we are, no offense. The offense does not show up again in the first half. And Doug Peterson's press conferences are pretty pointed. The media is asking tough questions. They're pressuring him. He's not handling it well. It's showing. He's tense. He's getting wound up. He doesn't really know what's wrong. He's not going to throw his players under the bus. So he's going to make these statements like Andy Reid did, but gag me if he makes the same ones. Well, you know, it's us. Give credit to the Cowboys. They were the better team. You know, they got good guys on that side of the ball. Well, thank you very much, but I don't want to hear any Cowboy compliments. I want to know why we didn't have a better game plan going in, you know? Now, some of you are going to want to talk about some of the bad penalties we've had. That first fumble, where they didn't award the ball to the Eagles because there was no clear recovery. They couldn't see who really got the ball. Well, we know that's crapola, right? You know, 10 guys are going to pull out of that huddle or that pile saying, you know, it was their ball, but there's only going to be one guy holding the ball when the pile breaks, and that was an Eagles. So we should have gotten that. And also the flag on Goddard when he went on to get his score. Now, the Eagles ultimately did go in and score anyway. But that's not the point. The point is that was a fake damn flag. And you know what? If you go back and you look at the game again, you'll see that the refs gave the Eagles the next three things as kind of a makeup because they knew they blew it. And there's a YouTube clip with Mike Pereira, who was a famous NFL official. He's got something to do with the administration now. And he was saying that he was pretty damn glad that he had Aaron Andrews with him on the way out of Dallas Stadium because he was getting a lot of heat and flack from Eagles fans that were totally PO'd by the officiating. So, yeah, he felt a little personal pressure and a sense of danger from the fans who were pretty wound up about that. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. So, Mike, I hope you go into the next officials meeting and pass that along, right? Some of you are going to want to talk about that. Some of you are going to want to talk about Doug Peterson and his, gee, is he using the same script every game kind of thing? Because if he's watching film, if he's looking for keys, if he's looking for strengths and weaknesses of the opposing team, if he's looking for mismatches, he's going to craft plays that are going to give us advantages when we have the ball, certainly in the first quarter, right? If he crafts the first 20 plays, that could be one drive for a score. Could be two drives for a score. But it could be a lot of three and outs. So if it's three and outs, I mean, that's six, right? That's about six times he's going to use the script, six series where he's going to use the script. Six series, six possessions is going to be into the second quarter, I believe. At least with our offense. Our offense blew up the game for us on Sunday because the reality was the defense held the bad guys, and they held them to minimal points. And Dallas had the ball for a long time. They chewed a lot of clock, and they walked away with very, very little reward. And then our offense went out on a team, and bam, we were out. We were back on the bench on three plays, and the D was back out on the field. What the hell? I mean, can the guys get a little break here? Yeah, they caught some breath in the locker room at halftime. But I think by the fourth quarter, our guys were gassed, but they were still playing tough. Look at the stats. Look at the game summary. Go back and look at the, go and look at the replay of the game. So, what's coming up here? Well, obviously, Doug Peterson, yes, he still misses Frank Reich. Yes, he still misses DeFilippo. DeFilippo may be coming back to the Eagles, or he may not because he was fired by Minnesota today, if you didn't get that information. Minnesota fired him because he's pass. And Minnesota doesn't want that kind of offense, so they cut him loose. Well, come on back. Come back, John. We got a home for you here. We'll make a spot. You know, we got a quarterback's coach, but you know what, Flip? Gosh, we'll make room for you as a special consultant or an assistant to an assistant or something. You know, the title is moot. Get back in here where you belong. So Doug needs Flip. He would love to have Reich back. But, you know, it's bigger than that at this point. I call this the year of the injury. Well, it's the year of the player that never got on the field. How many guys do we have that hardly played? Did the season ever really start for us? You're bummed out about the season, but did it ever really start? Were we ever really healthy? Were we ready to play football in September? I don't think so. Stop and think about what we had on the field. When the other team beat the Eagles, did they beat the Super Bowl Eagles? No way. We weren't the Super Bowl Eagles a few months after the Super Bowl. Excuse me. We lost too many people in a short period of time. Guys went off to chase a big payday. Can't blame them. You know, it's a fast flash of a career, but gosh, we weren't ready to go this year with all of our squad. We had a lot of key guys out. We got Peters going out 3-4 times a game, which is bad for the offense because they can't get the rhythm. You know, you keep shuttling in guys, they can't get their timing down. They can't, you know, the assignments. Things break apart. It's not good. And we got guys moving across the line. That's not good. It's a Band-Aid situation, and that really isn't good. Kelsey, I think, has another year or two left. He just loves to play the game. Kelsey was a beast like a week or two ago in the game. He was blocking two guys at a time. You got to look at the play of the line. You can't just watch the ball all the time. And that's the value of the replays and the clips, you know, that I find in different places where I could go back and I could take a look at things. Not a lot of time, but a little bit here and there, right? Because football to me is entertainment. It's not an all-consuming passion like it used to be during the days when I would drive over to Jersey and I would pull into a Friendly ice cream or one of those Jersey diners and I would get two eggs, toast, and potatoes and a cup of coffee for a buck while I read the Philadelphia Inquirer and what Dick Vermeil was doing with the latest Eagles victory. I mean, you know, those days I was just immersed in the Phillies, the Flyers, the Eagles, even the Sixers. They all came on. I was immersed in the other team's soccer. And I mean, every sport we had going, we were headed for the finals or the playoffs, and those were good days. But anyway, we've got a lot of injuries this year. We've also got to do a better job. Doug has to do a better job of hiding his hand with his plays, because every time Darren Sproles comes in, he gets the ball. So all you have to do is look at the Eagles substitutions. When Sproles comes in, you just watch Sproles. It's, you know, when Carson Wentz is back to pass, you know his first target's going to be Zach Ertz. we're getting too predictable. And I think that Doug Peterson has to do a little bit better job of that. All right. If you were going to advertise with Tampa Delphi, we would have had a break or two by now. This is actually the one of the spots where we talk about Tampa Delphi down at the Crown Plaza. We're still getting good crowds, and we're still showing Eagles games on every TV. If you get the chance to come down, it's the Crown Plaza on Kennedy by West Shore Mall. And it's comfortable. It's clean. It's relaxing. It's very friendly. It's 100% Eagles crowd. Passion, loyal. You know, where you're green, you're safe. Guys come by yourselves. Girls come by yourselves. There's no attackers. There's no drunks, brawls, or F-bombs. Well, we'll hedge on that a little bit. It is the Eagles. But the reality is, you know, it's an adult crowd. It's adult entertainment, and we act like adults. We're not 700-level people that are going to do bad things if an opposing fan comes in. But it's friendly. It's safe. It's a partisan Eagles crowd where you can relax. You can hide. Get away from work. Get away from the world. Get away from everything. Now, I didn't make the last two games, and I apologize for that. I didn't make this past game because of the car situation, I told you. But I'll tell you what else. This game coming up against the Rams, it's an 8 o'clock game. I will be there. I'll be there cheering on individual players, looking for the fabulous season of Zach Ertz to continue, and hoping to watch Carson Wentz and the offensive line start to play the way they're capable of playing. I think Wentz just needs to get his head around. I think he's trying to do too much. He's a hyper-competitive guy. He's very athletic. He's very smart. He picks things up very quick. What he needs to learn to do is relax. He needs to catch his breath. We're not going to go very far after the next 3 weeks. I doubt we're going to make the wild card. But let's keep going with where we're going with the Eagles. We talked a little bit about the Cowboys. We talked a little bit about the coach. We talked a little bit about some of our problems. We talked a little bit about what could be coming up with John DeFilippo. One of the things we got to do is we got to see what guys may not be back next year. Like Peters, maybe Sproles, but Sproles, pound for pound, is probably one of the strongest guys on that team. He's not a big man, but he's extremely durable and extremely strong. And sometimes you get guys like that that can play until they're 40. It's happened. It's happened. You laugh, but it's happened. And I know you're out there listening. I look at the stats for every show, and I've got listeners throughout the United States, actually. So it's very rewarding, and I am here for you. This show is here for the benefit of the Tampa Delphia group, but in reality, any Eagles fan can call in and talk Eagles. It's all good, and we all got a valid point of view. So what else do we have? We have, from the game, we've got a couple of things I want to take a look at here. I mentioned the time of possession, right? Some of the guys that were very strong and solid in the game, Jeffrey caught some stuff, Goddard caught some stuff, and, Aguilar had an amazing acrobatic circus catch. He's done pretty well. But, you know, there's other things here, too. I think it's important that we understand that the Philadelphia Eagles have a really good offseason coming up. And it would be nice to be able to see that. We get certain positions filled, but also we go ahead and we grab some available people that can make an impact right away. From my understanding, we've got some pretty strong chips to play in the draft. We've got some good positions and a good amount of picks. So hopefully we're going to get a couple of guys that can hit the field along with some free agents and give us about three or four good bodies that can really shore up the game for us. So back to Peterson. I mentioned that Doug's not really comfortable in his press conferences. They're getting him from slow starts, and that seems to be mostly what it is, and they're really leaning on Carson Wentz, too. If you listen to his press conferences, Carson's dodging bullets. He's answering the same question over and over, like, why does it take 3 quarters for you to get warmed up? Why is it always Zach Ertz? And they're all performance and production questions, and that's exactly what Doug Peterson doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to get wrapped up in those types of things, because then he's got to talk about a player. He'd rather talk about a play, but not a player. He does call out some guys when they have a good game, but for the most part, he doesn't call out guys when they have a bad game. The reason why is because you can be a hero one week and a hobo the next week. It's just the up and down of the game and where you're at on the field and who you're playing against. And some days are better than others. So looking at the Eagles roster, I want to call out Michael Bennett, who's up to 8 sacks already. I think that Michael Bennett's got Bennett is breaking loose. He was kind of invisible for the first 6 games or so, but now he seems like he's really coming out and really getting it done. Cox was an animal. They certainly missed Derek Barnett. God, what could we have if Derek Barnett was there? Josh Adams to date is our best rusher. Including the Dallas game, he's got 412 yards, averaging 5 yards a carry. He hasn't played all that much. He's rushed 83 times for 412 yards, 5-yard average. Smallwood's right behind him, and then Corey Clement. Corey Clement is the number 2 man with 68 attempts. But him and Wendell Smallwood have the same amount of yards. I think Josh Adams is our guy next year. J.H.I., when he comes back, what do they do with him? He's bone on bone. He's not going to go anywhere. Nobody's going to pick him up. I mean, they didn't want him last time. The Eagles got a good deal on him because Miami wanted to cut him loose because of his perceived injury or potential injury, that imminent injury, I should say. He's ready to break down. So will he be back? We don't know. They might give him a 1-year show me contract. But on our rushing game, Josh Adams looks like he's going to be the new workhorse along with Corey Clement. So as far as the receiving go, there's nobody close to Zach Ertz. Ertz is over 1,000 yards already with a 10.4 average, 98 receptions. Aguilar, 53 receptions. Alshon Jeffrey, 49 receptions. Jordan Matthews has been in the game 18 times. Goddard already is with 25. And Golden Tate's had 19 receptions for 189 yards. Not strong stats for Golden Tate, but we got him late. Maybe there will be some changes at the receiving core. I don't see how they can keep all of these guys. But there it is. On defense, like I said, we've got Michael Bennett with 8 sacks, Fletcher Cox with 6.5, Jordan Hicks with 3, which is good to see, Chris Long with 4.5, Barnett had 2.5, but Barnett's out, so he can't build that. But we've had our leading tackler, believe it or not, is Jordan Hicks. Oh, pardon me. Malcolm Jenkins. Excuse me. Jordan Hicks is number 2. Malcolm Jenkins has the lead on tackles. But there's going to be a lot of changes on defense. We just need some better guys out there on defense. Carson Wentz is at 69.6%. on his completions. He's 279 for 401, over 3,000 yards with an average of 7.7. But he's been sacked 31 times. Not good. Not good. So those guys right there are that seems to be some of the names to take a look at. For interceptions, we have, let's see. Wow. It looks like our best guy is Rasul Douglas, number 32. He's got two of them. Grugier Hill has one. Darby has one, but he's out. Corey Graham has one. Jenkins has one. And Nathan Jerry, a linebacker, has one, along with Avante Maddox, who's out hurt. So, again, this is the year of the player that didn't play. But we've got some very serious guys that have to. These last games are going to show us who's got the heart and who's going to want to stay and play. In that sense, it's a blessing. And I would love to see Doug Peterson get a little bit of help, because I think Doug's in over his head. That's what I think. I could be wrong. I often am. But if I am wrong, I apologize to Mr. Peterson publicly. But I think, based on what I'm seeing, his game plans on offense aren't as good as they used to be. And I think he needs to get Flip back, or get somebody like Flip or Reich to be able to keep it going. As far as the Eagles go with their assistant coaches, Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator, he's done a very, very, very nice job with the wide receivers. And when Roush went, he got promoted up to be offensive coordinator. But he's not an offensive coordinator yet. And I think we could have had this game. And I think all of this lies at the fault of the offense. And the offense is under the umbrella of Doug Peterson and Mike Groh. And yeah, a lot of it, if Carson Wentz had a better first half, maybe we would have walked out winners. If the flags didn't go against us, maybe we would have walked out winners. You know, recovering that fumble on the opening, huge. But not being awarded the ball was even bigger, because that was a momentum changer. The Eagles would have had at least 3 points, taken an early lead, and the momentum of the game would have been entirely different that first quarter and first half. So last year we got those breaks. Last year that ball would have deflected off of, you know, the pass from Prescott to Cooper that Rasul Douglas deflected away in overtime. He would have punched that ball in the air, would have come right down into his arms, and he would have run it back. I mean, last year we got those breaks. We got those plays. This year we do not. We do not. I think Doug Peterson needs to start taking a look at himself first and say, what can I do different? Because obviously I'm doing the same things, and it's not making any changes. I mean, it's not making any difference at all. So he, being Doug Peterson, it has to start with Doug. He's man enough to say, yeah, it's me and I can do better. Anyway, 657-383-1614. Don't be disgusted. Don't be disappointed. We all had a hunch. For us veterans, us diehard Bird fans, longtime Bird fans, and I'm not talking about like since last year or, gee, within the past 5 years or the past 10 years. I'm talking about with like 30 years ago or 40 years ago or 50 years ago. We've seen too many seasons and games. We get a sixth sense of what the potential is and where it could go, you know, the season, I mean. And early on, when there were so many guys that weren't on the field in training camp, and in September, you just had to – I mean, the clues were there. So us scarred veterans, we had a suspicion or a feeling that it wasn't going to be the same type of year. from here on in, do not hang your head down, like I said before, because help is coming. We could have and would have and should have beat the Cowboys. Anybody beating Philadelphia, it's not quite the achievement that you would have suspected. But this has given me a new respect for New England, because Belichick wins Super Bowls and still comes back the following year to challenge again. And it's extremely difficult to challenge that second year because of Super Bowl hangover and other factors that are out there in the world of the NFL that we don't fully know about, because we don't get that close to it. We just don't get that close to it. One of the big things that was said was that the road goes through Dallas. And yeah, this season it will. Dallas will take the NFC East. They'll get into the playoffs. They'll be their obnoxious selves again and get on everybody's nerves talking about how great they are, when in fact, yeah, they're so great. Their last championship was like 25 years ago when you were watching games on your VCR. So if you want to watch a Dallas championship game, you know, find a VCR somewhere and you can put the tape in and watch it. But it's not going to stay the same. And it's not going to stay like it is even next year. So I expect a better team, Philadelphia team, next year. But in the meantime, the Super Bowl team that won was ripped apart in the offseason immediately. We lost some key components. And some more are going to go this year. So what's going to be left for next year? Not the Super Bowl team anymore, but a new version, a new iteration of the Philadelphia Eagles 2019, whatever form and shape that will take. But these are the days that we'll see who may be back next year. All right, we are coming close to the end of our time. If there's any final points, anything that I've missed that would be major, give a call, let us know. And otherwise, we are moving on to the Rams. We are moving on to the Rams. It will be glad to see the Rams, because the Cowboys play the game so blatantly. They do so much pass interference and other things that they don't even bother to conceal it. They know they're not going to get the flag, especially in Dallas. So it'll be good to get back to a team that plays by the same rules you do. It's going to be a late game. It's another 8 o'clock, which these games are killers at 8 o'clock for all of us. But you know what? The Rams may not be the best team in the NFC. The Saints may be. They're probably looking at the Eagles like everybody else and saying, easy win. I don't know about that. I think Carson Wentz still has something to prove. So do a few other guys on offense, actually, because we've got 3 or 4 all-pro guys on offense, which is blowing my mind why we can't do anything for the first half. We're not that bad. I mean, with 3 all-pros? Stop and think about it. Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz, who else would be an all-pro? Would Jeffrey be an all-pro? I don't know. Would Ajayi be an all-pro? No. Would Peters be an all-pro? Definitely. So there's your 3, but we've got so much talent on offense. Golden Tate, let's remember Golden Tate. Let's not write off Aguilar. And we've got other guys that should be coming up that will make a statement. Anyway, we'll see more for the final 3 games. With that, I'm going to wind down, and I'm going to walk our way into the Rams game. Start reading about the Rams. Start taking a look at what they've got, what they do, who they have, so that I can pretty much come out with a 1 or 2 sentence position statement and say, well, if they give the ball to this person, that person, and that person, that's their game. It's like Dallas. I mean, it's not that hard. Ezekiel will run, Beasley will catch, Cooper will catch, and that's their game. You know, But the Eagles had a better game than you thought on Sunday. That's what I'm going to leave you with. The season may be winding down for us, but the team is not. Have faith, my Eagle brothers and sisters, and hold in with us. With that, I wish you a good week. And from Tampa, Delphia, this is Paul. Hope I gave you something to think about. And fly, Eagles, fly.